Yeah, I was looking for that spike in the waveform. Oh, sorry.
It is season 10, episode 4 of the Whales Are Whales pod.
Pod.
Cast.
Cast.
Cameron, you changed things up this time.
Well, I've actually been trying to do that every episode. Just try to do something a little different. Yeah, if you go back, you'll notice I do it a little differently every time.
Yeah, a little bit. That one really stuck out to me. Good job.
Yeah, no, I don't actually.
Well, I don't. Steven, you're here making the jokes.
Yeah, remember
as usual.
A while ago when I said
you wouldn't be funny.
Yeah, I said maybe I shouldn't be funny anymore.
Okay, you're not. You're living up to your promise.
I watched a bunch of old episodes of Whose Line It Is It Anyway, and I realized that. Yeah, and I've
been
can't
wanting
stop
to do that
now.
How was it?
Well, really good. It was really funny, and I laughed a lot, and it made me realize what this show is missing, which is prop based humor.
Yeah, I think that works really well on a podcast.
I'm going to mull over that nugget of an idea while you introduce Benjamin.
Sure. Hello, Benjamin.
Hi, it's me, Benjamin.
Whose line was it anyway?
One of them's for sure. And then Drew got to tell him to be quiet eventually. Speaking of which, I actually went to a live comedy improv show last week for the first time in the city. It was fun.
Were you a performing or an audience?
Oh, no, I went and saw. It was pretty small. Like, I think total of 7 performers, 8 performers, and then I think the audience was about 20. Like, it was genuinely really small.
Yeah. Did you have a good time?
Oh, it was a blast. Like, the audience itself was actually killer. Like, a lot of good suggestions. No one was a butt. Like, it was a solid show. A lot of good laughs.
I've been told multiple times recently that I should go to comedy shows.
I mean,
you definitely should.
You should, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, especially
now you've been told even more times.
Both of you guys, all 3 of you guys live in areas like that have
there's comedy
this.
Everywhere.
I have to drive, 3 hours to go to a show anywhere. Mm-hmm. So if you have the opportunity, I highly recommend it. Just honestly, almost any kind of live show is worth going to. Like I just went to a concert, I guess 2 days ago, and it was a very small venue. And it was a band I didn't know, and it was 3 hours to get there, but it was still worth it because live productions are almost universally just awesome. Yeah. I've never been to a live production of some kind that I wasn't like,
you ever been to like a high school play
or
something?
I was about to say, a high school talent show was pretty awful. And I've been to a lot of them weirdly because I worked at a high school for so long. Those are terrible. But
Ben. You have put on lights for many live shows. Have you ever been to a bad live show?
A bad live show? I'm certain
something
I have.
Not worth attending.
Yeah, no, I absolutely have. But like most of the ones that I put on, like I do my best to, and like I can at least say the lights were good. So there's at least one good element in each of them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely
interesting. I did leave halfway through a like orchestral choir performance of Handel's Messiah because it was so boring.
Oh, but interesting. But not bad, just boring.
Yeah, no, it was definitely well performed.
Yeah,
But I will agree with you. I get the point you're making, Cameron, and you would love living in Houston because there is infinite live stuff going on.
Yeah,
constantly.
I have to drive to Portland, which is a 3-hour drive to do any of these cool live shows.
Right.
There's some small. There's some stuff closer, but not a lot. And it just made me. Going to this concert of a band I didn't know in this little teeny venue made me realize that last year I skipped 2 of my favorite bands of all time because I didn't want to drive that far. I skipped Billy Talent, who never comes to the States, who always tours in just Europe. And then I missed Avenged because I didn't want to go to Portland. And I am not making that mistake again. I left that concert on Tuesday with a solemn vow that I will not miss a band I like ever again, even if I have to drive to Portland to see them. Just not happening anymore. It's worth it.
You know what I think you're going to really enjoy, Cameron? Is VGMCon.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very, very excited.
It's just the energy of a relatively small group of people getting into a room. Everyone is on the same page. Everyone is really passionate about what's going on. And it's just that for a whole weekend.
Oh, See, I've been to, I had this discussion with my cousin as we were driving home. I've been to 40, 50 concerts in my life. And that's musical concerts specifically. And the best ones, I mean, there's something to be said for a giant stadium with explosions and fires and, and like, you know, 15,000 people and everyone's screaming and yelling, but they're the best concerts have been in venues of like 100 people, where the band is waiting through the crowd, or and you can see their face because you're so close, you know, because it's a tiny little venue and you can see their face like from everywhere. Like I can't picture the Avenged Sevenfold dude's face in that concert that I was at because I was too far away, but I can vividly remember the person I just saw. Or like, you know, what's his face from Switchfoot? Because he's always in the crowd. I've given him a high five multiple times because he's waiting for the crowd. Like, that's, it's so much more personal. And there's a spectacle to the giant concerts, but I would rather the super personal, down to earth concerts. I think I'm starting to like them more, I guess. So
I completely agree with you.
I would go to so many concerts. Like, if I lived in Portland, I would go to a concert every night if I could. I would just, I'd blow my ears out. I'd probably wear, have to wear earplugs, but. I there's nothing quite like live music. Nothing in the universe that's quite like live
music. That's pretty much the only time I've heard you like say something positive about living in a major urban city.
Or just like about other humans.
It's so weird. You're totally right. It music, live music, transcends all of my social anxieties and my doubts and my fears about even like living in a city or being in a city. We were walking to the venue and I was like, God, I hate cities. And then I would walk walked into the venue and I was like, woohoo! This is great.
So, I am curious what you would have thought of the second half of that Sonic Symphony.
Was it real bad?
Well, I thought, were you not on the podcast where we talked about it? It might have been Ben that was on.
Yeah, no, I remember the conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Ben. It was the worst mixed thing I've ever heard. It was a wall of unlistenable noise for an hour. I am curious if you would have walked out being like, that was great. Or if that would have been at your limit.
Yeah. I do find that as I'm getting older, my ears do blow out halfway through concerts, and it was funny.
Yeah, maybe I was just too old for it.
Well, I doubt that. I bet you it was probably pretty bad. You have a pretty good discerning ear, but even by the halfway through the concert, the recent one, I was like, okay, everything sounds muffled and like a garbled mess.
I normally bring some earbuds or earplugs that I can put in. Yeah. You often will still hear the music. It'll just cut out like the treble.
Yep. And that's what gets you, honestly, is the treble.
Right.
And the
so I kind of create my own mixing often at concerts where I'm like, I'll put this halfway in or I'll use just my earbuds until I can like cut out that really sharp frequency that sometimes like hurts your ears and kind of create a mix there. But
It's going to be, this is the last podcast. Speaking of VGMCon, this is the last podcast before we all see each other and do a podcast in person.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited to see you guys.
Very excited. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we talked about this on the show, have we?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Well, tell us about it, Steven.
Well, I'll do just that, Cameron. But first, some prop humor.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Bring it back.
Wait, go for it. Oh. Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would continue on, but what do I do with these?
No, that was already good, Steven. That was already
getting so many flashbacks to freaking the radio broadcast Christmas special. Oh my god! It's been 15 years and you have not changed, Steven.
No.
Did Discord cut it out, or did what happened?
No, man, he was playing with props.
Oh no.
He was playing with props, and that was
content.
The bit,
wow. Ben. Steven was doing prop humor, and I was laughing at it on a podcast.
Okay. Oh. That was great, Steven. My bad for not getting it.
Yeah, it is your bad, Ben.
It is pretty highbrow humor.
Yeah.
VGMCon, I'm so glad you asked. it is a convention about video game music. You know, VGMCon, video game music convention.
Good job.
Wordplay humor. I like it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we definitely talked about MAGFest here before. So for the listener, just to refresh them, MAGFest is like the giant convention we went to. It saw all of our music friends back when we ran a video game music podcast, and it was so much fun. But COVID kind of threw that off, and we haven't been back since. But VGMCon is a much smaller, much more low-key version in Minnesota. So, I mean, obviously, it's why we keep it in Minnesota. And I've been a couple of times, and most of our friends not only go to that one too, but they're extremely involved in like kind of in the production of it. They know everybody there, and they perform as well.
Yeah, and it's their stomping ground.
It
yeah.
certainly is. And Brian, you said you wanted to go this year.
Yeah.
And then Cameron, out of the blue, suddenly said, I want to go too. And then Ben heard us talking. He's like, me too. And yeah. so not only are we going to see all of our usual friends from our old video game music days, but basically we're going to do WhaleCon.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The so reason I wanted to go was because I went to Comic-Con last year and it was awful. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, and I was like, I need to go to a convention of a thing I like. And I think I just happened to overhear you guys talking about VGMCon. I was like, oh, I like music. Woo, let's do it, you know?
Yeah.
It did make me realize how important, like, I assumed Comic-Con would be a fun time because I am a nerd and into the mm-hmm. culture, but man, is it really just about comics? And I yeah. do not care, not even like yeah. the movie comic stuff. It's yeah. just comics. And I'm like, oh yeah, I actually hate comics. This is awful. I'm having no fun mm-hmm. and this was a waste of my time. Seeing Critical Role wasn't, but you know. So it put me into overdrive. I really want to go to PAX as well.
Ooh.
In the fall, although PAX yeah. might take place when I'm going to Japan, so I'm not sure.
That'd be a much better fit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I want to look around and see things I like in every direction, and PAX is the mm-hmm. answer to that, because I like everything video games, you know. Just
does VGMCon have like an expo hall, Stephen, with like vendors and stuff?
Mm-hmm. It got kind of shoved into the back room last year, yeah. so everyone yeah. is talking about maybe changing the location, because it stinks yeah. if you make all this merch and, you know, you're trying to pay your way and do all the stuff and no one even knows where you are. But they do right. have some stuff, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. VGMCon is definitely the non-spectacle version of MAGFest. If you want the ridiculous spectacle of crowds of people in a million booths and 2 million arcade machines and that kind of stuff, then MAGFest is your go-to. But VGMCon, yeah. as I understand it, is a much more laid-back.
It's just affair. A hotel in the middle of nothing in Minnesota, and you'll see all the same faces over and over again because not that many people go. And mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know, it is a good time with good people, and there's good music, and there's not
right.
good food.
Well, the thing is, it's just, you know, a random assortment of people, except that it includes a weirdly high level of musician talent for how many people.
Oh my gosh, yes. Sometimes you get them all up there on the stage at the same time. There were some right. truly excellent shows last year that I cannot wait to see again. I know.
And if you want an intimate show where you can see the person's face and then talk to the person afterwards.
Yeah, definitely.
VGMCon is the... Yeah. The place to go for it.
Stephen, give me a an idea of what the agenda would be at VGMCon. Are you just literally going from concert to concert? Are there interviews? Are there open mic Q&As? I don't really mm-hmm. know how the flow would go. What are we doing all day?
Well, the way they split it up last time is they have the main stage. That's where the big shows are going to happen. And then they have a couple of other smaller stages. Where they'll, you know, shuffle on performers that can be, you know, up to like a very small electronic show all the way down to one guy with an acoustic guitar. Mm-hmm. And then they have another section of the hotel that is panels. That's where people are going to, you know, be teaching you stuff or doing Q&A sessions or, mm-hmm. or what have you. And so there's always something going on. In fact, there are always multiple things going on. So you can kind of just look at the okay. schedule and see, you know, what you're drawn towards. Or you can just go sit in the hallway and talk to friends and eat your Lunchables or whatever you brought with you.
Do you have your agenda, who you want to see, already set up? Like, who is your main?
I don't even think they've released the schedule.
I'm looking at the schedule. Yeah, it's all done.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I need to look at it.
The Super Mercado Bros are going to be there on Friday.
They certainly are.
At 4:30 p.m., they're going to do music, it says. I don't know.
I hope we're there in time.
We should be.
We should just be coming in like yeah. right okay. then, actually, because I think we all yeah. arrive by 2:30. If mm-hmm. you guys need to like leave earlier than I, because I think I'm the last to arrive,
Right.
Oh, yeah. You guys can leave. You're not going to.
You can leave Ben as the welcome.
I'll just be really offended. It's fine. But I won't be offended.
Okay. As long as I know you're going to be offended ahead of time, I can sort of process that. I'm looking at the schedule now.
Yeah, I'm just looking through. Cool. Yeah, because that was the thing I wanted to do. I wanted to make this agenda and like where am I going to go to the panels and stuff with Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. And then I was looking through the whole list and I was like, wow, I don't care about any of this. Like, and so the idea of at least wherever I go here, I'm going to listen to good music, you know?
Yeah.
That makes it already way better.
Yeah. And you can just wander like, am I interested in this? And then you can, you know, pop in for a couple minutes and just wander back out and go somewhere else, or you can just follow someone around and say, I don't care what I see, I just can't hang out with this person. So
which I probably do to you guys, just so you're aware.
Yeah, as you should.
This is perfect timing for you, because aren't you like less than a year away from getting into music?
October. So like I've
so
been...
you can just ask everyone, what is your advice? I'm about to get into music.
I had to sit down and mark out what my goals were, right? Because, like, music isn't a goal. Music is a hobby or, like, a lifetime.
Right.
Like, it being ill-defined and not having an endpoint is unhelpful. So, like, yeah, I actually I'll have more specific questions, and I'm really excited to be around it all. I don't think there's going to be any pirate music, but that's okay.
I mean, you can always make it.
I would not be surprised.
Oh, I know. Oh, I'll lead a shanty.
Just go up to the microphone and start leading pirate shanties and see what happens.
That actually sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah, that's one of my end goals, is to be able to busk a number of either funny or group sea shanties.
Yeah, I would try it. See what you can get going.
There's an accordion concert.
Okay.
Oh,
bring out some sea shanties at an accordion concert.
I was gonna say.
They take requests.
You're getting there. Yeah, that sounds fun. Yeah. Honestly, I just watched a video of how an accordion actually works, and I realized the amount of musicality you can get out of an accordion is not just like dumb polka sounds. Like that thing can make a lot of cool sounds. And secondly, it's really hard to use. Oh my god. There's like 150 buttons on the left hand.
Yeah.
Like they don't, it's not sequential. It's like A B C D E F G A B C D. It's like F sharp, G, third, minor, seventh, fourth, eighth. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, I don't know how anyone could learn that thing. I have way more appreciation for the accordion than I used to have. It's a very cool thing. So on Saturday at 2 o'clock, I'm gonna go see Laura Yang play an accordion.
Okay. Nice. So I like this real time just reading through the
if you want to know where to find Cameron with great specificity,
pinpoint accuracy.
All right, Cameron, do you mind dragging me along with you to that? Because that sounds like a blast.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited to do stuff with my friends. This is so great.
I'm looking forward to this.
As much as I harp on the fact that I'm so antisocial, and I truly am, the idea of doing a thing for a whole weekend with my best friends sounds like bliss. Like, I'm just so excited to be like, Cameron, come do this real quick. Okay, sounds good, Brian. Do-do-do-do-do. Oh, and Ben's like, oh, Cameron, you come over here. This is
that's
okay.
The,
it's like so cool.
It's
and
the
I don't
magic
get to do
of
that.
These things.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And like, even though we're talking about the schedule and looking at what, you know, all these times and dates, the part of the magic for me is that I don't have to do anything. Like, I don't even have to get in a car. Like, I could just walk around and bump into people I know. And things on our itinerary should include, I believe we discussed recording a podcast episode.
Yes.
We could, I don't know, maybe find a room upstairs or go to one of our rooms to do that. We should go to Target. That's always a fun thing to do. It's a big highlight.
What?
Remember, we're in Minnesota, so we take our kicks where we can get it.
Right.
Okay. Yep.
That's where we do snack runs.
Okay, I'm following.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk about food though, not with Ben.
Oh no, we all have to eat. I am no longer anti-food. Just so you guys are aware, it has been 6.5 years since
I'm happy to keep track. All right, good to know. Steven, did you have more on that list?
Prop humor.
Oh, go for it. So anyway, I was going to pivot here, and since talking about food, I thought. Cameron, you sent me a message that I would like to read out.
Oh, yes, please do.
earlier today and see if we can get some ideas here from Steven for this difficulty we're dealing with. Cameron sent me, "How do people that eat healthy feel full, man? I'm about to drink olive oil." So,
just trying to get your calories.
Man, I just need some calories.
I feel like no one is better equipped to answer this question than Steven.
Yes.
A six foot one terminally underweight person who eats with one of the most restrictive diets I know.
Yeah,
so
Steven,
how do you feel full while eating healthy?
To fill you in a little bit, Steven, I
then fill me up.
No, specifically not filling you up. I have a pretty good inkling about what is causing my throat issues at this point, and I always worry about saying this is because when it doesn't fix the problem, I'm like, well, cool, mm-hmm. I always say it is and it doesn't. Oh my God, Friday at 10:15 p.m., there's a panel called Music of the Sea, an introduction to tropical music. Boom, Ben.
So perfect. Close.
That's going basically that. What you were looking for.
I mean, it's either that or steel drums, and either way, I'm here for it.
I'm not sure if sort of like Celtic ballads would be termed as tropical, but I'm sure you could nudge it in the
sea
right
direction. Sea shanties aren't tropical?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man.
He's not just saying, he's saying sea shanties.
Yeah. All right.
It's Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. Hey, boom.
I mean, touche. Touche. That's a sea shanty touche. Cameron, please continue.
Yes, I will continue. Right. So I have eliminated almost every other possibility it could be causing my throat issues, except for food allergies. Mm-hmm. And so for the past couple of months, since my endoscopy, where I paid about $2,000 for nothing, I have been thinking and trying to keep track about what foods, or if I feel worse or better with certain foods. And I have come to a relatively concise conclusion that certain foods do cause me a lot more pain, and I'm in much, much worse pain after I eat certain foods. Mm-hmm. So that certain foods would be, well, okay, what I really first determined something was wrong was pizza, which is a bread and a cheese and a tomatoes, which are three things that can cause really bad problems. So I would eat a pizza and I would just feel like utter garbage. My whole face would be like just in pain. I'm not sure. Shut up, Siri! No one asked you anything! And so then I started to narrow it down a little farther, and I have landed on trying to eliminate sugars, but sugar is kind of a...
Yeah.
I'm not going to really go like zero sugar because that seems almost impossible, but I'm going to try to limit sugar. Like, I don't drink soda anyways, but you know what I mean.
Right. Especially added sugars. Like,
yes.
How much of that? Yeah, yeah.
Bread. I think bread is a good one to start with. And dairy. Dairy products need to go.
Gluten, dairy, sugar trio, I feel, is a pretty solid place to start for eliminations.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the tank healer DPS.
Yeah.
The holy trinity of food eliminations.
And so when you have nothing, you're left with a garbage party because there's nothing else to do any work with. So
turns out we've based basically the entire American diet on sugar, gluten, and dairy. So.
Yeah. Turns out, yeah. And so I have no problem with getting rid of dairy, really. That's not a big issue. I don't do much cheese anyways, and I never drink milk. The problem is the bread thing, man. Everything I eat has some sort of, you know, carb.
Sandwiches, pasta.
Yeah, noodles, pasta, burritos. Yeah. It's all bread. Yep. And so what I'm at now is that I'm starving. And I don't know what to eat because I had a stir fry. It was chicken and it was veggies and whatever and some rice. It was great. It was like 400 calories. And it took me like half an hour to eat because it was like a giant plate of garbage. And I ate it and I'm starving still. And I don't know what to do.
Yeah, salad is not the answer here.
No.
No.
And I don't want to eat just like more chicken? Like I don't want to eat more chicken. So I
eat more chicken, Cameron.
In order to be on this podcast and have energy, I just ate some frozen stuff because I needed calories.
Yeah. Cameron, help me out. What's... Oh, go ahead.
No, that's it. That's it. My throat hurts.
So, what about rice? Like, because Americans eat a ton of bread as our filling carb. Like, most other places in the world eat rice as that fill-in. Where does rice sit for you?
Rice seems to be okay. I buy these nice little rice bowls that have they have you know, a bunch of rice in the bottom and then chicken and veggies on top, and that seems to do really well. I don't seem to have a problem with rice, which is good, because you're right, I needed some sort of carb. So right. but again, like, even today's meal was, you know, a giant plate of rice. Is filling, but it doesn't give you calories. It fills up your stomach with stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you started with, how do people who eat healthy feel full? Rice.
Right.
And then drink olive oil.
Wash down that plate of rice with a good glass of olive oil.
To comment that, as you guys know, I had all sorts of issues because of my diet, and I found a specialist who did all this wacky electro gadgetry, medical magic. And one of the instructions they gave me was literally just have a tablespoon of olive oil with every meal. And so drinking olive oil.
They literally told you that?
Doctor,
wow.
I will drink a tablespoon of olive oil on mic right now to see what it's like.
That might help.
You guys
can take
vamp
like
for
a shot.
Bit. Yeah, you guys vamp for a bit. I'll be right back.
Oh, prop humor.
Oh. Oh my gosh, that's the best yet.
Oh,
that's really good.
I'm still doing it.
How do you even come up with that?
Oh, all right, now change it. Okay. Now change it to slapstick.
Oh. Wow.
Hey,
That must have hurt.
It really, really feels good to put literally no effort into it and have you guys laugh at my jokes.
You spent your whole life, like, you know, crafting that that ability. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trying to gain enough cultural cachet.
Yep.
I was also, Steven, just so you're aware, I was also a fan of you putting in no effort and us getting content from it. Huge fan.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. He didn't even have to make a segment this time. You delivered.
Prop. Humor.
Hell yeah.
Well, geez, how long does it take a shotgun to...
Yeah, this is taking a weirdly long time. It's not like Cameron has a large house.
No.
Maybe he fell down.
Oh no. Cameron!
Cameron!
Did you fall down?
Cameron!
All right, I'm going to call 911. Hold on.
Call Cameron. Tell him he's taking too long.
Oh, he doesn't.
That'll make him so angry.
Answer.
True, but he'll be mad.
I even got a new phone number, and he's
especially
not going to answer
if we
that
all
one.
Start calling him. So, like, as Steven's calling him, I'm calling him. I'm going to do that.
He has to vamp. And
why are you calling me, Steven?
Oh, we got bored. Sorry.
So I don't
have
any...
Yeah, we were worried for you. It was taking a long time.
Oh, yeah, well, worried.
I don't have any teaspoons or tablespoons. So I just used a spoon. Which I think is a teaspoon.
Was it on the table?
No.
Whoa, hold on. Before we do this,
This
is an extra virgin olive oil, is it?
Correct, it is.
Oh, that's not going to be...
Oh, I looked at it. It has 180 calories per teaspoon.
Yeah, it's just not
going
to be.
There's no way. Wait, what? Is that how much calories olive oil has?
Oil?
Jeez.
Yeah, I can go double check. It's 160
sure not,
or 70.
You mean tablespoon?
Hold on. I'll be right back.
It's got to be tablespoon, right? One sec. I'm
all
right.
More
this is taking
humor.
Too long.
I'm exhausted already. I mean, I know for a fact that, like, olive oil, like normal olive oil, would be more like
180 for a tablespoon.
20 maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
120 calories per tablespoon.
Yeah,
yes,
tablespoon. That's a tablespoon.
Okay. So that's not.
I'm just extra virgin. This ain't gonna be pleasant. And be careful if you're gonna shotgun this because it's gonna burn.
It's gonna burn.
If it's extra virgin, it probably.
If
will.
It's like, well, if it's
like
high
French
quality olive oil,
their,
it'll burn.
Don't the French like dip their bread in olive oil or something?
Yeah,
Italians
but they don't
do
like
too.
Just. They don't drink it
okay.
straight.
It's let me different. Just take a. I have like a tablespoon here. Let me just take
it'll
a nice
okay.
little sip.
Yeah,
it'll
if it's
okay.
grocery store olive oil, you're probably
yeah.
Okay,
you're,
here
you'll
I go.
Be fine.
Oh, that sucks.
Did it burn?
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess we overestimated Cameron's throat.
For the record, I just did normal olive oil, like
yeah, like light.
Yes, olive one that had seen a lot of action. Not
I don't even like olives.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, I
Yeah, I this might not be the way forward.
So
for you.
Okay, so regular okay, Sonic version Cameron, is better.
Have we helped?
Yeah, Steven, you've been not helpful so far. You told him to do the thing he already knew how to do. That's it. So well, can you maybe give him a little more advice here?
I thought Ben had a handle, honestly, but sure.
Let me ask you, Steven, how many calories do you eat in a day?
I try to get, well, it depends on how much exercise I do. Like, so let's say
burn zero exercise.
Zero exercise? Then I'm probably going to look for like maybe 2,800.
Whoa.
Somewhere around there.
Okay, where the hell are all your calories coming from, dog?
Well, you let's
well, he has a big milk jug of olive oil.
I spend 40% of my day chugging
like you
olive
don't know
oil.
What's in his water bottle. That's all olive oil.
Oh my god, that's no. You guys are making me hate food again.
Okay, let's do this. I'm gonna walk you through what I ate on March 23rd.
Perfect. Okay. This is great content.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean I agree.
Yeah.
For breakfast, I had 2 strawberries.
Okay. Which,
I had 2 eggs.
Oh my.
A tablespoon of chia seeds.
Okay.
Some almond milk with old fashioned oatmeal.
Okay.
A cup of that. Now here's the thing. You have a cup of old fashioned oats, that's 300 calories right there.
But that seems like so much.
Well,
and 2 eggs?
You don't want to eat a giant bowl of oatmeal?
No, I don't. But continue.
So I think the difficulty you're running in here is Cameron wants to be full without having to do too much chewing or work to consume
all right,
the food.
We'll get there.
Yeah, continue, please.
The next thing is smoothie time. That's
smoothie
to help
time.
You
that
there.
Is between 10 and 10:30 a.m.
Yes. So for smoothie time.
I can hear the sound of the blender every day.
Yeah, literally every day is smoothie time. And I think this is going to help you out, Cameron. So okay. I use almond milk. So you don't have to worry about any dairy going on there.
Yep.
Then I use some protein powder. I've been doing about a scoop of half of that. That's 180 calories. It's 32 grams of protein. So that's pretty helpful. Mm-hmm. Then you dump some chia seeds, some flax seeds in there as well. That'll boost up your calories as well.
Like how many calories are you getting in a whatever amount of chia seeds that you're dumping in there?
Maybe like 50 calories here, 30 calories for the flax. Throw some spinach in there to be healthy. And here's something that's helpful. Slice up half an avocado. That'll make your smoothie creamy and delicious. 120 more calories.
Okay.
The smoothie, just drink the next thing you know, it's gone. And you've gained like, I don't know, 300 calories almost, maybe?
Wait. It's only 300 calories?
I would say like 500 or something.
Yeah, maybe closer to that. I mean,
well, because you got to put the oatmeal in it too, right?
Yeah, once you grind up the oatmeal. I don't know, maybe like 400, something like that.
Okay.
Then what, Brian? I'm so glad you asked.
It's a rhetorical question.
This might not help because it is bread, but it might be okay for you if you go for like the super whole wheat healthy Dave's Killer Bread stuff.
Not processed garbage, yeah.
Exactly. A couple slices of that is already 200 calories. And then you slather on some peanut butter, you get 200 more calories.
I can't do peanut butter at all.
Whoa.
Peanut really sucks. Yeah.
What about almond butter?
Peanut butter was the first thing I ever learned, and it was the worst. Like, it's all.
Really?
Peanut butter almost gets me to the point where my throat is closing up.
That sounds more like
because we're talking
allergy.
Well, that's what Cameron said. That's what this is, yeah. Oh, so that's an interesting point, Steven. All your food problems stemmed from your gut, right? Like, you eat the food and you feel bad in my gut. All of my food problems feel bad in my head. I would eat, like when I ate that pizza and I would feel horrible. It wasn't like my stomach was like blah, 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 blah. It was like it would cause inflation.
Inflammation
in my sinuses and my soft palate, which would cause tons of postnasal drip, which is what causes the pain, the actual physical pain.
I guess I just connected a lot of that to So like acid reflux. I didn't think it was.
I don't have acid reflux. I am taking medicine that gets rid of all acid reflux.
Oh, so that's not even an issue. Okay, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it all nut butters, or, you know, or just peanut
I don't know.
Butter?
Actually, I've never tried anything besides. I tried, you know, the garbage Jiffy peanut butter, but then I also tried like a really nice like Whole Foods peanut butter, and that still destroyed me.
That's too bad. I do love peanut butter. But
me too. But I wouldn't like, I would like to try different kind of butter, like in like almond or whatever, but
you should try sun butter. It's one of my favorite things in the world.
Like sunflower seeds?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna add that to the list.
Butter made from the sun. Nothing better. Also, Cameron, I think you said you've tested this, but there's no timing correlation between going on that acid reflux medication long term and the throat problem starting, was there?
No.
Okay.
The timeline went December of 2019, I started getting acid reflux. January of 2020, I started getting sinus issues. February 2020, throat pain started. And then I started to treat the acid reflux in like 2021 because it was like a year later. So,
yeah. Okay.
But the acid reflux did start with started everything. I noticed I was getting acid reflux. So that's interesting too, but it's all connected. Well, Stephen, your regime is incredibly well thought out and sounds very healthy and sounds very helpful. The barrier that I'm going to run into is it's laziness.
The thing is you can stay full while eating healthy. It takes more work.
I spend a lot of time and energy eating, cooking, and tracking. Yeah. It does take a lot of work, but I'll say two things. Maybe that will help you. I mean, we can stop talking about this.
Sure.
I mean, I love talking about it. This is just like a merciful twist. the first thing I'll say is there are some easy, quick hits. Like,
okay,
avocado will fill you up and will give you calories very quickly. Yep. Like Ben said, you can make rice, you can make quinoa, you can make like lentils. Honestly, like just make them in bulk and just find a way you like to eat them.
I don't even know how to cook lentils.
It's very, very easy.
Okay,
you just boil them.
A lot like beans.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beans are pain in the ass.
You have an Instant Pot. You can throw them in there.
I need an Instant Pot. No, I need an Instant Pot. Yeah.
And like one other thing I'll say is I don't know if you like sweet potatoes, but really easy to make, and those will give you tons of calories.
Oh, instead of a regular potato, you mean? That's a good point. I haven't done much discovery with potatoes of any kind of roots.
French fries all the time.
The only issue I could see is they are a nightshade, just like tomatoes. They could cause issues, but I haven't experimented with them, so I don't know. Yeah. Sweet potatoes are a good idea. This is a very interesting topic, so I'm going to keep it going. What do you put in your smoothie specifically, besides the seeds and the spinach? Like, what's your base? The almond milk and, like, what, fruit?
So I did fruit for a long time, but now I switched to a chocolate protein powder.
Oh, I can't do chocolate either.
then you could do, like, a vanilla protein powder or whatever.
Your base is the almond milk and the protein powder, and then you don't add any fruits in anything?
Right now, since they're doing chocolate, it's just the protein powder and the almond milk, but then there's the avocado and there's the chia and flax seeds and some spinach.
Protein powders are flavorful enough that if you just I think it tastes pretty good. Powder, you have a flavor base there.
Smoothies might be a good first step here.
They're a good lazy high calorie food that can be
avocados are even a problematic thing for me because that means I have to go to the grocery store every week and
buy them. And they go bad in like 2 seconds,
right? But I do have literally frozen avocado, like not guacamole mix, but like just avocado mashed in my freezer. So I could thaw that and stick it in a blender, you know.
Definitely have a hard mode thing for yourself, which is you want to eat a lot of calories, eat them healthy without fresh foods and without it being work. And it's like, that's the hardest mode diet I've heard yet.
Pretty tough. That's even tougher than mine, but
I know. I'm just so like, I just clearly I don't.
I mean,
it's taken 4 years to get to this point, and so clearly I'm so lazy that even the amount of pain I've been in has not really moved the needle very much.
But that's the thing, is like the time you will save from being miserable will be worth it. You'll just spend, instead of sitting around hating life, you'll spend that time chopping up sweet potatoes. And you'll feel better.
So that's Steven's life, just whistling merrily to himself, chopping up sweet potatoes.
Yeah, that's an interesting value proposition. Like,
believe me, I've seen the other Steven, which is just laying on the floor being miserable. I've been through this, much happier chopping sweet potatoes.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, that's, you put it in a pretty interesting way, actually, now that I think about it. Because there are times I literally just am like, ow.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was like, ow, all day long. And it's because I ate Taco Bell the day before on the way home from the concert. So, okay. Well,
The one last thing I'll add, and you're probably already doing this, but as you're eliminating things, like, don't eliminate too many things at once. Like, just get the bare minimum down. And then, like, you know, allow yourself to eat as many useful, easy, cheap things as you can that is not going to kill you. And then you can work out from there, you know, like it's the opposite
of what I was given advice actually for. The advice I got was full elimination diet, which is to go completely cold turkey on everything and then slowly start to add things back.
I mean, that's to test
for what affects him.
That's what Whole30 does. Like, and that's why I was able to stop having heartburn is by doing that.
Oh, really? You did Whole30? Interesting. I did that a long time back. Yeah.
Did it help, Ben?
It helped me figure out what would cause it. And, you know, like someone with lactose intolerant, I still choose to eat it, but I just know it's coming now.
Gonna give you heartburn. Yeah.
But I went from having heartburn basically every day to literally none the whole 30 days. And as we started.
Oh, yeah, I forgot how chronically you had it. That's great.
And it was wild. And so, like, now I'm aware of the different things that will cause it and how to make it better. Bread plus cheese tends to make up a ton of the American diet. Like that's all pizza is. And there's just a lot of times it's just like bread. Oh, pasta is, it's basically bread, carbohydrates plus cheese.
Yeah. Tomatoes. Yeah.
And so, and that plus tomato sauce always upsets my stomach. Yeah. But like,
I have a Meprazole really nice I'm allowed to take. The like fad diets and elimination diets is even if you can't stay on them forever, or you know they aren't the perfect superfood answer to everything, just being given the knowledge of knowing what the food you're eating does to you so that you can make the choice whether you want to eat that stuff instead of just being like, for some reason I feel horrible all the time and I don't know why. It's really helpful to have that knowledge and just know that I don't have to feel this way all the time if I don't eat this stuff.
Also, I would like to go ahead. I was just going to say that thinking about our history of podcasting, in 2010, it's like, which is the most fun video game that came out this month? In 2024, it's, how do we all stop getting heartburn?
I don't know why I've never had heartburn, and I'm really paranoid that I'm going to suddenly start developing it. Because it feels like everyone I know is like, oh yeah, I absolutely get heartburn. I'm like, what? I don't.
You are very, 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 very lucky.
It sounds bad.
It's awful. It's horrible. It's like debilitating in the same sense of like a headache where you can't really fight through it. It just hurts so bad and you have to be like, okay, I have to swallow some Tums. Like I have to, or I'm just like, I remember one time I had it so bad that it was like 3 a.m. and I didn't have any Tums and I was like, I have to go and find a thing that's open at 3 a.m. and get Tums or I'm going to die.
I have done that before for canker sores.
Oh, interesting.
Because they would stop me from sleeping because it would be like at a point where it was getting pressed against my tongue or whatever. And I'm just this is just burning, unending pain. I need a solution to this.
So, Brian, if you were to theoretically eat a cinnamon roll before bed, you're not, it doesn't cause you pain at all.
No, I've never had any heartburn, no matter what I eat.
Go find some wood to knock on, please. And thank you.
Look, he's had every other problem.
Like I have had like indigestion and stomach aches from eating bad stuff.
Define
your indigestion pain to me.
Like, my stomach is a cramp.
Okay, so there's not like...
No, I've heard heartburn described, like the acid, like goes up your throat, like kind of feels like after you threw up or something, like that kind of acid.
That's exactly how it feels. Yeah.
No, I never have that.
Oh, okay.
But you're totally right. I'm going to suddenly develop it tomorrow
If you develop it tomorrow, I'm sorry. I like you. I wouldn't even wish it on people I don't like. Too, man.
It's awful.
Yeah, from what I hear everyone described, it does sound very bad. And also that it'll hit you when you're trying to sleep is just like...
Oh, that's the worst. Yeah. I've had to really stop eating because I used to... so many changes. I used to eat a big meal at like 8 or 9 o'clock at night and then sleep at 11 or 12 or whatever. And the food would still be sitting in my stomach and it would just be awful. So like if I don't eat before 6 or something, I just don't eat because I just will feel horrible if I do and go to bed, you know, and it's still sitting in my stomach. I have to eat before like 6 or something on a weekday where I'm going to bed at a reasonable hour. Otherwise, I don't really care. Well, Steven, to answer your question, I could talk about my favorite game that I played last month or this month or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But if we have a better topic, we can...
Is it Dragon's Dogma 2?
No, but I've heard some crazy things about that game. That it is literally Dragon's Dogma 1 with higher production value in every way, shape,
I really laughed when I heard about that. Yeah.
It's interesting. Are you guys going to play it still?
That's everything
Are you guys gonna play it still? We went back to Dragon's Dogma 1, and now we're not so sure if we need to play Dragon's Dogma 2.
It sounds like you kind of don't, honestly.
I started to wonder.
If you hadn't have gone back to Dragon's Dogma 1, you probably would have played 2 and been like, wow, this is what I imagined Dragon's Dogma 1 was like. Because it's exactly the same game with higher production value.
Well, what was the good game you played?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't played much this month. I'm gonna have to be honest. Helldivers again.
Okay, more Helldivers. Yeah. Okay, I thought you
Nothing
had a
really
real
new
answer
this month.
You know? I've been playing Unicorn Overlord.
Oh you played more of it. You keep playing it.
35 hours in.
Oh wow!
You passed me.
So, like,
what level
are you?
Yeah, what level and where? What area did you go to?
Just under 20 for all of them for all like level, and then I went kind of everywhere. Like, I'm unwilling to start a battle unless I've explored every explorable thing. Mm-hmm. It's also why I've put in so many hours. Like, I'm over leveled. I'm still doing the battles that are like, I did one today that was 13 and all of my characters are getting no XP because I've over leveled myself. But like,
I have it on
tactical. I don't even have it on, like, so there's 4 difficulties. Yeah. It's a story, normal, tactical, and expert. And I didn't think I should do expert because I didn't want to spend that much time.
Hard.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I need to bump
from what
it
I
up.
Played of it. I didn't play that much. I got to maybe like level 8 or 9. I was kind of playing opposite to you, where I was just like mainlining it, trying to get it hard. And eventually, I hit a boss that was like wiping my people. But it took a while. If you're over level, I think you could definitely probably play the highest difficulty.
I probably could. But like, also, once you hit level 15, the enemies start, like, they get all of their abilities or almost all of their abilities. Okay. And it changes, the tactics change a lot. But like, honestly, spending time in that game menuing and like setting up conditions and then being like, all right, here's I want you to use your main ability if and only if this happens and then happens. Yeah. And then if it doesn't trigger, adding that same ability like 5 lines down and being like, all right, this is the catch-all. So like, if you didn't use
it
earlier,
very minor programming.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's like,
yeah, it seems right up your alley.
It's been great, and like the systems are just complicated enough that like I can really dig my teeth into it.
I'm really happy
to hear you like it. Not playing Marvel Snap at this point. Has that?
Yeah,
I am still playing Marvel Snap. I am level 9,600 right now. I said I was gonna get to 10, and I am. The card that just released today is really cool, and I can't afford it because the economy in the game sucks. It's War Machine, and it's the ability. He's like a 4/6 or something, and the ability is when you play this card until the end of your next turn, you can play any card anywhere.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. But again, can't afford it because the game's economy is terrible.
Right.
So I'll never get to use it. And oh, no, I'm sorry. I get a 1 in 4 chance slot machine chance at getting it with my one key. Blah. Stupid ass game. So yeah.
That's exactly why I quit. Made me sad, but not worth it.
I committed to finishing to 10,000 again, and I'm gonna, but I'm not really having any fun. So like, it's kind of just a chore at this point. Yeah.
I'll log in to play an evening, or maybe we'll do it at whatever fest we're going to. But I'll play one more time with you guys, but I'm not
I'm not playing the game anymore. I can't.
You did you want to be on mic and on cam? When I hit 10,000, was that the idea?
Dude, that'd be dope. I'm here for that.
Yeah. Okay. We can do that. I'll stream it on Discord. I'll play on PC. And the
final match of Marvel Snap. I'll pour one out.
And, yeah. There you go. Perfect.
Be done. Yeah.
Other games. Let's see. Oh, I wanted to say, I'm glad you're enjoying Unicorn. I have taken a break because I was finding it overwhelming. The idea that the programming you were talking about, Ben, it sounds really, really cool on paper, but then I would try to do it and I realize I'm not good enough at the game to do it properly, and so it would be better just to use the quote unquote optimal.
The optimized works fine. Like, I think you'll be able to get through it, but like, if you're not finding joy in that, then mm-hmm. yeah, like what joy do you get out of it, or that's why you quit playing?
Well, so I have whatever 17 hours 18 hours and I'm also level 20. I'm not exploring nearly as much as you, clearly. The joy I was getting out of the game was the tactical aspect of the movement and combat. Really enjoyed dropping people in different spots, people who are better at stealthing and coming up behind somebody and taking out the turrets, yeah. and somebody who was good at sniping the things out of the air, you know, the griffins out of the air, yeah. and the large scale battles when there's like 20 units on the field and I'm controlling 8 of them, you know, that's really, really, it's still really fun, and I want to go back to it for that reason, yeah. specifically.
I feel like you might like Fire Emblem games a lot because they focus a lot more on the granular.
Wait, have you not played Fire Emblem games, Cameron?
Not really, no. I've played a little bit of Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah, that's not gonna scratch that itch as much.
I played a little bit of Advanced Wars Dual Strike, and I'm so bad at it, dude. I literally am like failing on mission 6. Like I'm just so bad. And so I haven't. That's my worry, is that Unicorn is approachable. It's easy, and that's what I needed, was the ease of use. Yeah. So I'm worried about switching to any other SRPG because I'm worried I'm just gonna get my ass handed to me.
Yeah.
Is probably true.
I'm trying to think what the most approachable Fire Emblem is. Maybe it's Three Houses.
It has to be Three Houses because they actually don't. They have a undo for permadeath as a built-in mechanic, which is so nice.
Maybe you should try that one.
Is that on the Switch?
Yeah, that's the Switch one.
Okay, gotcha.
I think probably do that one or do Awakening. I think that has a mode you can do that has no permadeath.
Is that on the GBA?
That's the 3DS.
Oh, 3DS. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and that was a more kind of welcoming one. You could probably emulate it or find a copy of it somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure. I have my 3DS still.
Yeah, I'd say one of... I love the older Fire Emblem games, but they are a little more hardcore. Might not be the best place to start.
Yeah.
They got more accessible as time went on. So yeah, Awakening or Three Houses. Like, I didn't care for how anime Three Houses felt, but it might not annoy you as much.
Cameron, do you like dating sims?
I have played 2 visual novels and I loved them both, but I chose the most mainstream 2. So I don't know the answer to that. The answer is I've enjoyed them, but I don't know if I would like all of them.
Okay. I think that you would enjoy it, knowing you and what your propensities are. I think you would enjoy it.
Three Houses we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you like it, Ben?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I
got overwhelmed by over grinding. Like,
oh yeah,
it took me like 3 times as long to get to the time skip as all of my friends. But
yeah,
it was a good game.
Do you consider yourself a completionist? Game?
So I used to be, like, when I played single player games, absolutely. But like, that's part of why I stopped playing single player games and only started playing video games with friends, is because the desire to check every box is
really deeply ingrained. Like, hopelessly addicted to certain games, and like, games have just gotten so bad about that. Like, they realize that personality type is out there, and they just add bloat, and like, it's really ramped up with like Skyrim and that era of games, and then like, that idea of just, here are infinite quests for you to do forever, and we've created a really like addictive loop for you to do. It's like game design kind of got based around that entire idea.
Yeah, and like that was actually one of the reasons I bounced off of Breath of the Wild, because I saw Korok seeds and I was like, let me pull up a map to see how many Korok seeds. I wonder if I can chart an efficient way. No, I couldn't. Yeah. And I was like, there's no way.
Yeah. 800 Korok seeds. Is that I feel like that mindset for a certain era of video games actually worked quite well. Like if you went back and played like Banjo-Kazooie. Yeah, right. You went
oh
back
my
and
gosh,
played,
yeah. Okay.
It's like it's manageable. It's like, yeah. Oh, there's a handful of worlds and there are all these little magic things to find in it. And I can maybe do each world in 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're done and you complete the game and you're happy 100% did it.
Right.
That, you know, that's how I felt about the PS2, like the Sly Cooper series, Jack and Daxter, like a lot of those games. Like I was very happy to complete them. They weren't collect-a-thons, but they had like they had searchable things. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had like the games that had massive worlds like Morrowind or Ultima, where like you're going across this massive world, but there's no checklist to know that you got absolutely everything. Like the games are not tracking your progress that carefully.
They almost so prided like, themselves on
you're not going to see all this.
Yeah, exactly. And like you should start new characters, and like it's just this infinite world. But around the time of like World of Warcraft, especially then going into like the Elder Scrolls games and the Assassin's Creed games, it's got like, wait, what if we make checklist games that are also a billion miles big and just did both of them? Uh-huh. And it, that killed people.
You know what started that, right? Assassin's Creed.
It. Yeah, yep. Assassin's
was
Creed.
Was it the feathers?
Every single game that's come out since Assassin's Creed can be traced back to Assassin's Creed. It's crazy.
I was watching a video about Elden Ring, Cameron, and you would have found it very vindicating because the guy was like, listen, Elden Ring's open world, everyone kept calling revolutionary and kept calling amazing. He's like, you know how you make it like every other open world? Put icons on the map, and it's literally every other open world game.
Yeah.
It's like, that's all it did. There are evenly spaced dungeons to go in that are copy-pasted, that at the end of it, you fight one boss and get one thing, and you can just completely play it like a checklist game. It's just there aren't icons. And I thought you would very much appreciate that, because that's what you were screaming into the void when it came out.
Yeah, I do not understand the revolutionary open world aspect of what people were screaming. It doesn't make any, it's not even close. It's the same thing as Assassin's Creed. Mm-hmm. It's literally, again, it's like if you were looking at a timeline of like, I don't know, like the multiverse thing in Avengers, all games branch off of Assassin's Creed.
Oh, yeah.
And including stupid Elden Ring. It's not special. I think Breath of the Wild would be the only one that doesn't have that many connecting bits to Assassin's Creed. Yeah. Finally,
but
enough,
even
it still
Breath
does,
of
though.
The Wild literally has towers you climb.
Yep, it's still connected. It's
incredible.
Baffling. Because I saw that. Yeah. I watched that video that nobody watched that I linked to a bunch of people. because nobody watches anything that anyone sends to anybody.
No, not anymore.
That Assassin's Creed one about Ubisoft in having cool
concepts.
Oh,
I really want to watch that. I completely lost it. I will watch that.
Uh-huh, it's fine. Whatever. Anyways.
No, I will. I promise.
Oh, yeah,
promise.
Great.
Opening it now.
It's just funny how it's so many games are coming off of that one game. It was so interesting and revolutionary and cool that every single game basically ever released, AAA game that released afterwards, has DNA from it. It was such a turning point for the whole industry, and some would say in a bad way. I would say in a bad way.
including me.
It started a lot of bad trends. It wasn't bad when it came out. It was really cool and unique, but everybody copied it and are still copying it. That it kind of set the motion of game 2008. We know games started to get worse. And Assassin's Creed
Ubisoft
was one of them.
Pretty much directly. And now I just see headlines like, the next Monster Hunter is going to be fully open world. The next Resident Evil is going to be fully open world. And I'm like, gosh dang it, the last one standing are going to become Ubisoft games.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's so funny
every
how
single series.
I used to, as a teenager, all I wanted was for games to be open world. I just want, I want a giant open world to explore. And somehow, now I hear a game is open world, and I almost lose interest on that basis. And it's like, whoa, wow, that was a real change, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's because we are trained to, the word open world means Ubisoft open world.
Right.
It does not mean Breath of the Wild open world. If every game that was coming out was a Breath of the Wild open world type game, I would be much more excited, but it's not. It's these checklisty, grindy, and ridiculously big, full of garbage, boring quests to do open worlds that are Ubisoft games. So I'm with you, Steven. I think I had probably had the same exact revelation as a kid, where I was like, I love it when games are open world. Wow, it's so cool. Like, what was it? Need for Speed Most Wanted. with like the first Need for Speed game that was sort of open, and I was like, wow, this is great. But now the Need for Speed games are like the same thing. Like even Burnout Paradise was like checklisty open world racing game. And
how many billboards have you hit?
Yeah, literally. And that was 2009 after, guess what, Assassin's Creed. Like,
Brian, that is exactly what the cop was shouting at me when I got pulled over the other day.
How many billboards have you hit?
How are you hitting billboards, Steven?
Yeah, you know, get enough speed.
I don't know. I took a couple shots of extra virgin and
dude, it's still on my throat. That's so gross. I'm never doing that again.
Ugh. It's like simulated heartburn.
I mean, actually, yeah, Brian, you want heartburn? Go drink some olive oil. I'm serious. It'll literally give you heartburn.
Drink some olive oil, then throw up. You have the full heartburn experience.
The full heartburn experience. Why are we trying to give this to people?
Because we're evil people, that's why.
The full blank experience, you could fill that with so many things.
No, evil. We're evil podcasts.
I'm a thrill seeker in the dumbest way possible.
That's the last video game. Honestly, I've been switching it up. I've been watching lots of TV and movies. I did the Helldivers and Pacific Drive kind of and Unicorn Trio, and then I kind of burned myself out on games, so I've been watching a lot of TV shows. Shogun continues to be okay.
Yeah.
It's not, fine. Not, yeah. I mean, honestly, it might be worth Steven, you specifically really like Japanese culture. I think
I'm going to try it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's worth a try. As long as you just know to come in with tempered expectations, it's not this amazing TV show, like the next generation of TV shows, whatever. Mm. It's good. It's a solid 7 or 8 out of 10. It has some amazing moments. It has some really stupid moments.
Have any of you heard of an animated show called Blue Eye Samurai? I think it's Blue Eye Samurai.
No. Yes, White Dragon.
Baby Dragon.
I have heard of it.
Yes. I've not heard of it. Where are you going with this, Brian?
I just heard it highly, highly recommended, and I saw it was an animated Japanese thing. It's apparently from the writer of Logan and Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, well, I like Blade Runner 2049.
And it's a Netflix animated show. So, Steven, it made me think of you because you just finished up. What's it called?
Samurai Jack.
Yeah. Oh. There's another animated Samurai show.
I
mean,
other than Samurai Jack, I haven't really watched anything produced after 1955 in a while. So
what?
I'll see
very
when
specific
I get to
year.
It.
Okay. Have you guys watched Arcane?
I have not.
I watched the first episode. A bit of it. Yeah.
I'm shocked. What did you think of it, Ben?
I thought it was fine. Like, again, I'm not super into anime, and I'm not really into, like, watching stuff very much anyway. it was something that Danny and I were like, oh, let's watch this together, and then just never did. But, like, I liked it. Yeah, and, like, the thing is that they brought in characters from that show that are not part of the League of Legends lore, and they put them in TFT, so I was more interested at that point. And then, again, just never got around to it. Why did you have strong feelings about it, Cameron?
Oh, I have very strong feelings about Arcane. It's one of the greatest animated things of all time. If not the greatest animated thing of all time.
All right, well, I'm going to re-add it to my list. My bad for not finishing it.
No, I'm shocked because you're such a League. You're not a League. You're a League lore guy. You've engaged with League a lot.
A lot in the past X amount of years.
And it is a show that is so clearly made by somebody who was not driven by profits, driven by time, driven by desire to generate like buzz or get popular. It was created so desperately out of passion for the medium.
It
took, I think, 5 years to hand animate, and it shows, and it's gorgeous and beautiful, and I'm really stressed that season 2, which is going to be done in 2 years, is not going to be as good, because I don't want it to tarnish how absolutely stunning. Like, you know that feeling? You guys all saw Spider-Verse, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, okay, well, you know that feeling of, like, how gorgeous Spider-Verse is, and how, like, oh, wow, it's, like, pushing the animated medium forward. Arcane is that for TV shows. Like, it's phenomenally well done. And
I think it's probably a slam dunk to say it is the highest quality series animation that has ever been produced.
I can't think of a single thing that's higher quality. Yeah, not even close.
I'm talking about Western style animation, like 3D Western animation. You can have a debate with anime, of course. There are a billion anime.
Nothing.
But
Nah.
Look, those are all dumb people who should be thrown in
prison.
Listen,
Parker's not here, okay? I can diss anime as much as I want. Animated movies.
But Parker, no, the animation is next level. It's sort of like shocking how much they cared about every detail.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Legitimately why I'm stressed out about season two is because now it's being made because they want to continue it. You know what I mean? Like, right. It's not being made to make a cool thing. It's now being made to finish the cool thing. And that's that's a big difference.
That happens so much.
Yeah.
There's one, you know, genius original seed of an idea with intent and purpose behind it, and then they said, well, let's make more of this, and then completely missed the point of what the original thing was. I bet they had a plan in place because they probably knew it was going to be somewhat of a hit, so hopefully that's not the case here. But
I remember reading a quote about, you know, like, it's been around, that sentiment has been around for a very long time. I remember hearing a quote from Francis Ford Coppola after the original Godfather, where the studio came back to him and said, well, if you have the formula for Coca-Cola, you make more Coke. Make Godfather Part 2.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's no more book, but sure, I'll figure something out.
And apparently, I've heard Godfather Part 2 is good, right?
I thought it was terrible.
Oh, shoot.
But okay, I am the outlier. But I thought it was all the same problems that we see all of here, where they didn't actually have more story to tell. They pretended to tell more story, but mostly just told the same story again, but worse.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, whether that's other people think that about that particular one or not, you're super right. It's a very large problem. Sometimes it works out, but it's every time it feels like this gamble. It's like, oh man.
Yep. Lord of the Rings is one of the ones I always point to where I think to myself, that was so unbelievably perfectly well planned out. Three movies, we film them all at the same time, we finish, we have the script already written, we pick out all the actors and the costumes, and we keep the same people who are working on it through the whole thing. Like, it's not three movies. They made one movie and split it in three parts. You know what I mean? Like, that was, it's like a masterclass in filming and planning and properly releasing a product. Funnily enough, The Hobbit is like
the
masterclass.
It's
the exact opposite.
You get 100%. Two masterclasses. Here's what you do and here's what you don't do.
But yeah, Arcane, highly recommend it. I don't even know how I got on Arcane, but I actually want to rewatch it. Like, it's so good. Actually, you know what? I'm going to add that to my rewatching list because I really want to watch it. So
cool. Well, that seems like a good, solid place to end this episode.
Quick, Steven, one more prop joke.
Ooh. Oh. I don't know if this one... you're kind of stressing
this one. This is a classic case of just make more prop jokes. Yeah. Just make more Coca-Cola.
Sorry.
It's not that
easy. It was
really
good before, but I just don't think you got it.
Yeah, it was funny at first. I think it trailed off towards the end there.
I'll work on my material. I really appreciate the feedback.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Cameron, for joining us today.
You are welcome, my friend.
Thank you, Benjamin.
You're so welcome. Happy to do it.
Thank you, Steven.
Yeah.
Have a week.
Do it.
Do it a week later. What?